Linda's husband. She's much more, I think she's more well known than I am in this at this point. So that's a good thing. It's not, I don't have any concerns whatsoever about that. Linda and I served with Village Missions for, it seems like forever, enjoyed our ministry there. I won't go through the whole litany of where we were and what we did, but it was a great experience for us, and it's been a good experience for us to be here as well. Did you need something?
Children.
Children. Oh, okay. Children. I realize, wait a minute, you're standing back there and there's no kids with you. That's good. This morning we are going to take a slice out of John. We're going to be in John chapter 13. Verses 33 through the break of the chapter to 14:7, in order for us to be of more service to you, we have an opportunity for you to, if you don't have a Bible or don't happen to have one with you right this moment, you can get one from one of these guys if you need one. And you are more than welcome to take it and keep it or give it to somebody else that might need one if you know they need something like that. One of the things that I added to my, standard movement of things was to think about the idea of how goes the world. How's the world going for you? Overall, I think if we look around, it's a mess, isn't it? The world goes not well. But, the kingdom comes. The kingdom is coming. When, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it, and I wish that it was soon and very soon that it would be here. In John chapter 13, it's kind of one of those weird deals that pastors can do at times. You may not realize that it happens. But there's an opportunity for us sometimes to just go blowing right past the break of the chapter. Now, some people would want to have to, I have to stop because that's the end of the chapter. But that's not really the way it has to be. But we are going to look in John chapter 13, verses 33 through 14:7. This was a sermon I did a while back, a long time ago, relatively speaking. But it was whenever I was asked to consider having the opportunity to preach, I got some of my books out and looked around and see what was there. And I thought, this is as good as anything. This is a good one. And so I thought, this is what we'll look at. We'll look at John chapter 13 through 14:7. The way, the truth, and the life is what this passage is about. But first I want to pray. Lord, we come to your word now. And I pray that you would give me clarity and understanding. I pray, Lord, that you would grant to each of us a word, an encouragement, a strengthening, an answer. Lord, that you would do your work and accomplish your purposes in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 13, verse 33 starts this way. Little children, Jesus is speaking. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and you have seen him. May God's word be blessed to our hearing. I thought it was an interesting way that Jesus started this process. He begins by talking to these guys and trying to encourage them and help them get prepared for what is ahead. And he calls them little children. How long has it been since somebody called you a child? Or don't be a child, or don't be like a child? Sometimes I think being a kid is pretty good. I liked being a kid. And some people would say I still am. But he addresses them as children because that's in comparison to Jesus. There's no way for them to reach that pinnacle. I am with you, he says. I am with you. And I'll probably throw this in because it should be there. I am with you all a little while longer. There's the idea that, yes, there's something that's going to be there, but it's only for a little while longer. Literally a few hours. And then they were not going to, and then their world was going to be rocked, and they would have been, they were devastated. He says, you all will seek after me. That's a good thing, isn't it? To seek after Jesus, to be those who are looking for him, trying to find him if he's, wait a minute, I thought he was just here, and now he's not. They were, I would say, in a real part, they were devastated from this point through Jesus' resurrection. And then it was, what? How could this be? How could this happen? It took them a while to figure it out because they were disciples and they thought that they knew more than others. But the women who came to the tomb, they didn't seem to be fazed. They seemed to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Where I am going, he says, you cannot come. I'm giving you a new command, he said. This command I give to you is that you love one another. How are we doing on loving one another? There are some people that are easy to love, to care about, to worry over, or whatever else it might be that would demonstrate you care about them and you want them to be well and you want the good things for them. We are to love one another even as Jesus says, even as I have loved you. Okay. I'm going to step over here a second because I don't think I do that all the time. Just so you know. This new command, even as I have loved you. We sing the song, right? Jesus loves me, this I know. The Bible tells me so. This new command, is it hard? I'm not going to have you raise hands, but I will ask you this question. Are there some people in your life, in your family, in your acquaintances, that you have a hard time loving? Okay, Lucas and I both. Okay. Oh, okay, good. There's three of us. Jesus loves us. We should love others. If not if not for anything else other than the fact that Jesus loves. Well, who does Jesus love? All of us. Even those who don't know him yet. His desire is that they would, and that they would turn to him and follow him. Where I'm going, you cannot come yet. By this, all will know. What will they know? They will know that we are his disciples. Do people know? I mean, I don't know if you talk to people at work or at the ball field or walking through the park or whatever it might be. By this all will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, I realize that I'm not the best at remembering names. Anybody else, do you have those issues? Doesn't mean I don't kind of think I know them, but okay, I think I've met you before, then that's good. But it takes a while to kind of get connected and get worked into this together. The disciples responded to Jesus after he had told them this, and Simon says, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus says, "Well, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now. You can't go right now. But you'll follow after. You'll come later with me, but not right now." Peter doesn't give up. "Lord, why can't I follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you." And by the way, all of the disciples said the same thing in Matthew. So Peter just had some issues with knowing when to not say things. See, if Peter says it, then everybody else jumps in and says, yeah, we'll do it as two. We'll be with you. No, not yet. He says to Peter, "Will you lay down your life for me?" Eventually, but not yet. There's going to be a rooster in your future. And even though Peter, he didn't call Jesus a liar, but he was kind of, because he thought he would not give in. And Jesus said, "Well, it's going to be three times that you are going to deny me that you even know me." Can you imagine the devastation in Peter's heart? When he ended up denying that he knew him. 3 times. Jesus, as you would expect, reached out to these men that he has spent his life with for these however much time that was that they were doing their thing. Jesus calls them to rest, to a place of quietness. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Have you had troubled hearts before? Things are unsettled. You don't know which way is up. You don't know what the next step is. But Jesus, does Jesus know about failure? Jesus hasn't failed. But we fail. And what was it that Jesus said to Peter? Do not let your heart be troubled. Do you think Jesus knew about discouragement? About challenges? When he was going to the cross, settle your hearts, he said. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Even in the midst of upheaval, have you been in a place of upheaval? Have you been in a place to where you aren't sure what the next step really should be? Don't let your hearts be troubled. You do believe in God, he says. You do believe. I do believe. In my Father's house, you believe in me? Believe in me. Believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. That is, many rooms. I don't know if I haven't really explored that whole concept that we get. Now, if we get a room, I want a room with Linda. You know, I don't know where you are, but I want to have Linda there. In fact, maybe the whole family would be nice as well. He says, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. How many is that? Enough? And then some, maybe. He says, if not, I would have told you. I wouldn't have left you out. I'm going to prepare a place for you, for which ones of them? A place for you all. And if I have a place for you. I will come. I'll return. And I'll receive you to myself. See, the separation is not forever. And we have the Holy Spirit as part of this process of encouraging us and helping us and directing us. And he said, since I go to prepare a place for you, then you will be with me. Isn't that what you want? I want Linda and I want my family and all the rest of you. And then even more. You all know the way, Jesus says. And Thomas speaks up. Thomas isn't always recognized very well. Thomas says, I put a little note here, Thomas the Brave. If I was, I have to tell you what I think about myself. If I was Thomas, I would not have said anything. I've listened to Peter enough. So Peter, you take all the flack. There you go. And now when that's settled down, I'll come back in and, okay, good. See, I'm starting to look better, is the idea. Peter just is Peter. He says, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Which road do we take? Which road do we take? We take the road that the Lord leads us on. It's not necessarily the same exact road, but it's the road that the Lord has put us on to follow. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, I am. That's a simple statement right there, but it means a whole lot more. I am the one and only way. He says, I am the one and only truth. And he says, I am the one and only life. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says. Jesus said, if you had known me, you would also have known my Father. And from now on, you know him. See, if we kept going, we would jump into the next message, but I won't do that one. I'll just finish this one. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And now you do know him. You have seen him. Did they see him? He says, you have seen them. That's kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? These guys, in the midst of their upheaval and dysfunction and jostling and all of those other things that they were trying to get hold of, he says, you have seen him. How could that be? The prophet calls us to our responsibilities for what we have heard in God's word this morning. The prophet puts before us, he says, am I demonstrating to others that I am a disciple of Jesus? How would I do that? How would I demonstrate to others that I am a disciple of Jesus? By my love. By my care and by my concern and by my obedience. Am I demonstrating to others that I'm a disciple of Jesus by my love for my fellow disciples and for others? Are there people that we would rather not do I believe that Jesus is the one and only truth? The only source of truth? There is certainty in Jesus Christ. Am I convinced that Jesus is the one and only source of true life for all people? And finally, in trying to grasp this and get it into our hearts and into our thinking, the shepherd comes along with our commitments. What are we going to do? You've heard from God's word what he's telling us and how he's calling us to have our hearts settled in Christ and settled in his work and word in our life. Am I certain that Jesus is the one and only way to God? How will others know? Do you think there are very many people that don't have a clue? I think there's a lot of people that all we got to do is look back to. It doesn't work. Jesus is the one and only way to God. So, how will others know? Here's an idea. The easiest idea demonstrate love to others. Demonstrate what Jesus, how Jesus walked and lived. Seek to follow in his steps. Let's pray. Lord, your word is so helpful. Lord, we don't really think that in ourselves we have what we need, but in you we have what we need. So, Lord, we ask that you would continue to do your work in us. Continue to stir our hearts, to draw us to yourself. That you would be lifted high and that others would know you. Help us to be those who love in Jesus' name, amen.